Well, good morning, everybody.
God bless us all. Today we are on the 13th Sunday of Ordinary Time, and as I was praying about the readings today, the theme that seems to me runs through all of it is the theme of hospitality. And I don't just mean our hospitality towards each other. Of course, we have to do that. We're all brothers and sisters because we have the same Father. And we got the same Heavenly Mother, too. And so we owe it to each other as fellow human beings to be hospitable to each other and embrace each other. But I was also thinking about the necessary call to be hospitable to God. And so I just kind of wanted to reflect on that. But before that, I just was like very impressed by just how hospitable God is to us. Like, it's pretty incredible if you think about it. Jesus, in our, let's just start with the first reading. God, the figure here for the good Lord, is this wonderful woman who takes in the prophet Elisha, who was the prophet after Elijah. We're talking about the 9th century B.C., give or take. And Elisha had a lot of journeys to make as a prophet. He went all over the place. And he always would pass by this little town called Shunem. And in Shunem was where this wonderful lady, we don't know her name, but we know that she was a woman of influence. She lives there. And she would see that Elisha would come by all the time. And she would, in her, she has a husband, and they would take him in. But it got to be that he was coming by so often on his missionary journeys, his prophetic journeys, that they even made a room for Elisha. Such that whenever Elisha came knocking on the door, he didn't just get to stay on the couch. He had his own room, and according to the scripture, he had a lamp in there, and a bed, and a table, and a chair. What a nicely furnished room. Does this make you think of anybody in heaven who has prepared a room for you and for me? The good Father, God, has done so. And so this is a foreshadowing of that, but this is the God figure who has a room, not just a spot. But could you imagine being, by the way, like in that day and age? I was reading this book called Death Comes to an Archbishop, amazing book. And it's about these two missionary priests. But that was way hundreds and years after this. And like, I cannot imagine a life when there weren't without hotels and without the modern conveniences that we have. But that's what Elisha dealt with. And imagine how wonderful it felt to him that somebody had not just let him in the house, but even prepared a place for him, a room, and invited him into their family. And you notice that what happens here is that there's a lot of fruit that come from this hospitality, because Elisha is so pleased that he's got a place in their hearts, in their home, and in their family, that he says, "Is there anything you all need?" He asks the servant. And they go, "Well..." The servant, whose name is Gehazi, says, "Well, this woman has been trying to be with child for a while and just can't get pregnant." And Elisha says, he goes up to this woman and he goes, "You know what?" He goes, "You're going to be, a year from now, you're going to have a baby." And like, there's the fruits of hospitality are so many. And don't we know that by like our own relationships that we have, our friendships, our relationships of all different types, that whenever we are hospitable, that there's a lot of fruits that come from that. There's a lot of laughter. There's a lot of joys and happinesses and beautiful graces that come our way when only we are hospitable. And so there's God, this God figure and this woman who is foreshadowing God the Father. Okay, then we've got our second reading, which is St. Paul wrote this to the church in Rome a couple thousand years ago. And he was talking about one of his favorite topics, which was baptism. And he's talking about how like Jesus came to bring in the whole world. That Jesus, the hospitality of the Christ, is so incredible that his arms are open to receive everybody, which scandalized people because it was unheard of that the Gentiles would have any place or that these sinners would have any place with God. But then comes Jesus and his arms are wide open to receive everybody. And if you go to St. Peter's Basilica in Rome, you see the colonnades are arranged in such a way that the symbol is that it's Jesus' arms ready to receive the whole world. When we have baptisms here at St. Joe, we have the doors wide open to receive. Jesus wants to baptize the whole world. Jesus wants that everybody come. And there's always a spot at the table. And that's the beautiful thing about baptism. And that's the power of baptism. To bring us in and to connect us with the Lord, with each other, with the communion of saints. And that's hospitality. That's the hospitality of our God. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. I got to read you a little something. This is from Flannery O'Connor. She wrote a short story in 1941 about baptism. And this is called The River. You got to read the story. But the story is of this little boy. And he's kind of got a lousy life because his parents are both drunks and he lives in a shabby place. And one day the babysitter, who doesn't even know his name, comes to watch the kid. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to get this kid baptized today and I'm not going to tell his parents. And so she takes the boy to the river where there's this famous preacher who does healings and baptisms and everything is awesome. And he goes, and he's talking to all these people, some of whom were there for the wrong reason. And he goes, if you ain't come for Jesus, you ain't come for me. You can't leave your pain in the river. I never told nobody that. If you just come to see, you can leave your pain in the river. You ain't come for Jesus. You might as well go home if that's why you came. But if you came for Jesus, he said, listen to what I got to say, you people. There ain't but one river. That's the river of life, made out of Jesus's blood. That's the river you have to lay your pain in the river of faith, in the river of life, in the river of love, in the rich red river of Jesus's blood, you people. All the rivers come out of that one river and go back to it, just like it was the ocean sea. And if you believe, you can lay your pain in that river and get rid of it, because that's the river that was made to carry sin. It's a river full of pain itself, moving toward the kingdom of Christ where there is no pain, to be washed away. Slow, you people, slow as here old red water around my feet. And then he goes, boy, you want to get baptized? And the boy's like, yes, I want to get baptized. He says, good, because it'll take you to the kingdom of the Christ. And don't you want to go there? And the boy's like, yes, I want to go there. And it's the most beautiful thing when he gets baptized, and then everything's different in his life. But he goes home, and it's not different because his parents are still crazy, and it's all still what it was. And so then what happens is that this boy, he goes back to that river, and he drowns. But Flannery's point is that baptism, like, brought him to paradise. There's even a character in the story called Mr. Paradise. But like, that baptism has accomplished this incredible thing. And that's what Jesus, the river of blood, that, you know, think about Jesus on the cross. And on out of his side comes flowing water and blood. And that's the stuff Flannery O'Connor is like, that's the river. That's the river of salvation that you and I are baptized into. Our salvation had a price, and it was Jesus' blood. But my friends, you and I are baptized into that water. And when you were and I were baptized, we were immersed into the Lord in that most beautiful way. And the origin of that stream of salvation is Jesus. And you know where the destination is? It's heaven, to that room that God has prepared for us. And you know what we do is when we get baptized, we are immersed, we sink into the Lord. You know, sometimes we think of the spiritual life as like climbing up a big old mountain. But maybe a better image is just sinking into the Lord. And that's what it is, my friends. Like, and when we sin, we jump out of the stream of salvation. But confession puts us back into it. And Flannery's point and St. Paul's point here is that Jesus wants everybody in that river. And that's why he gave his body and blood for us. And that's why he came up with the river of salvation in the first place. And my friend, like, that's what it's about. And Jesus wants the whole world in there. That's the hospitality of our God. It's amazing. And then our gospel here. Here what we got is going on is Jesus says, whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. And whoever receives you receives me. And this whole idea of receiving, hospitality. The hospitality. You look at Jesus on the cross. His arms are stretched as wide as they can be to embrace the whole world, to embrace all of us, if only we embrace Him back. And Jesus says, receive me, and then you receive the one who sent me, which is the Father, who wants nothing more than to receive you. But then we even hear another piece of this beautiful hospitality. Jesus says, if whoever gives only a cup of water to one of these little ones to drink will not lose his reward. The hospitality there. Friends, we got a God who is so hospitable to us, who always has room in his heart for you and for me, who always embraces us, who no matter what sin we have, no matter how high or low our IQ is or our popularity or our abilities to do this, that, or the other thing, it doesn't matter, woman, man, it doesn't matter what color, it doesn't matter, none of that. Jesus came for everybody. That's the hospitality of our Christ. That's pretty amazing. But the other side of the coin is we have to be hospitable to God. You know, like we have to embrace the Lord and look for moments all the time to do so. And they're not hard to find. God is pretty easy, as it turns out, to embrace because He's everywhere. And I was just thinking of a couple different ways that we can embrace the Lord, that we can be hospitable to Jesus. You know, some people it's real easy to be around, and you feel alive when you're around them. Some people not so much. Those are hospitable people. And God is the most hospitable. Are we hospitable back to Him? That's the question. And the ways that I was thinking is, number one, we got to be hospitable to each other. There's enough ugliness in people, you know, when they don't want anything to do with other people. I think a tendency for us moderns is we live in our own little place and we have our own space and we keep the doors locked and everything. Very different from most of the history of the world. And it does us well to invite others into our life, into our families, into our relationships and so forth. It's a good thing to be hospitable. And I think one thing that has come out of all of this recent news and so many crazy things going on, but I will say that it does appear that there is still some racism in this world. And somebody once said that diversity is inviting somebody to a dance. Inclusion is asking them to dance. There's a big difference. And I think that hospitality is about this inclusion where it's not just enough to invite, we got to include. And I think there's a big difference there. And Jesus wants that, as Father Richard Rohr always talks about, the divine dance. And that God wants to dance with all of us in some beautiful kind of way. And like we have to do that with each other. We got to do like the woman here in the first reading, why not have somebody come in the house, you know? And we got to do what, this, give a cup of water to somebody and buy them a meal and do those sorts of things. It's a good thing to be hospitable to each other, regardless of anything. So that's one way we can be hospitable to Jesus. But another thing is just silence. I just finished this retreat I was on for 5.5 days. Normally I go to a monastery or something, but there I get in trouble there because I start talking to monks and start talking to the priest friends that I go with. And by the end of the retreat, and it's at St. Minard where I know so many people, so I tend to, you know, do a fair share of chatting. But this retreat, they wouldn't have me over there, neither would the Franciscans or the seminary or anywhere. So I ended up going to a little cabin, and it was five, and I took the Blessed Sacrament with me, and I just, you know, like I was, it was just 5 days of silence with Jesus, and I tell you what, it did wonders for me. Now, maybe we can't do 5 days, but we can do a little bit here and there. That's one reason we have our Adoration Chapel, is this, to have moments of silence. We live in a world inundated with noise. The phone is always blowing up, the email dinging here and there. We got people all over. We got to take this kid to that practice, that kid to the other game, and this. We're crazy busy. We're crazy noisy. We got radios. We got movies. We got watching a movie here and then another movie here and then the TV. Noise everywhere. But silence is where the Lord speaks. Jesus came silent night, holy night. And remember, Jesus' last night on earth, he spent in nocturnal prayer and silence in the garden. And you remember how Jesus would always go to the desert. Jesus would be with his people, but then he'd hit the road and go be quiet. And I really feel that if we don't have silence in our life, we got a lot of problems. And we have to teach our children, our godchildren, our grandchildren, how to be silent with Jesus. Because, my friends, you know it as well as I do, that the Lord speaks to us in that silence. And it turns out he has a lot to say. There's two types of silent prayer. Somebody once said that our vocal prayers are really just kind of like ways to get ready for praying. You know, they are praying. Rosaries and Hail Marys, important things, novenas. But they're all, it's all this text. It's all meditation and contemplation are two ways to be very hospitable to Jesus. And I'm just going to end with a reflection on that. Meditation is when you read the Bible and you get to a line that really touches you, and then you close the book and you close your eyes and you chew it. You sit with it. You say, "What are you telling me, Lord?" Or you read a good book like Flannery or somebody. Or you just reflect on a relationship. Reflect on anything. Meditation is just taking something, chewing it, and saying, "God, what do you got to tell me with this?" That's good. It's a good type of silent prayer. But the even better type of silent prayer is called contemplation. That's when you go into silent time with the Lord with no agenda, with no text, no images, no nothing. You go to the Lord and you close your eyes and you just marvel at the fact that we have a good God, and that God wants something to do with you and you want something to do with that God. And we just sit there with the Lord in love. And my friends, that's the what St. Thomas Aquinas calls the summum bonum, the greatest good in prayer. Because it's this radical hospitality to Jesus where we shut out everything else and we interiorly welcome into our hearts Jesus. And so a lot of the spiritual giants talked about it, St. Teresa of Avila with her castle and all these wonderful things. But bottom line, my friends, we have a hospitable God who wants nothing more than to take you and me into his own life. But we got to be hospitable to him back with silence and with our kindness to others. So let us pray for that grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.